This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the core difference, of course, between Ben Radford and the rest of us is that he feels we got all this stuff going on, but either we have it now or we'll have a conventional explanation for all of it, except, as you say, very few hoaxes. But before we go on, can you tell us a few hoax stories?
Can I tell you a few hoax stories? Wow, sure. Oh, there's so many great ones. There's so many great ones. There's the Cardiff Giant hoax. There's the James Brother of Jesus ossuary, which I saw at the Toronto Museum, the ROM display, which turned out to be a fake. There's so many hoaxes and frauds. There's of course the faked Bigfoot prints by Rant Mullins. Many people, of course, believe that the Patterson-Gimlin film was faked. I suspect it probably was.
Let's go with this Patterson-Gimlin film thing, because when I first saw the pictures of that, I thought, guy in a suit. You know, I was looking and my pattern recognition in my brain was going, I think I can even see, you know, his eyes through the slit in there. You know, and then we have the person who has come out and claimed to have actually worn the suit during the filming, and all of this other evidence that this is just a hoax, and yet there are still believers. So tell us why you really believe it's a hoax. Like, what can you say to the people who go, like, the musculature?
Right. Well, there's a couple, and I, you know, we could do a whole 2 hours just on the Patterson-Gimlin film itself, so I'll just sort of touch on it. But yeah, so the Patterson-Gimlin film is, of course, the 1967 Patterson-Gimlin shot by Roger Patterson, Bob Gimlin, in Bluff Creek, California. That was said to be actually a female Bigfoot. Not everybody realizes, but that's supposed to be a female Bigfoot, dubbed Patty. Patty, and allegedly you can see its heaving hirsute breasts, depending on how closely you look, I suppose. And Roger Patterson was kind of a sketchy character by all accounts. Even the believers in the film will admit this is a sketchy dude. He had runs in from the law. He had a string of brushes. They had people who accused him of fraud and this and that and the other. But he went out one day with the express purpose of filming Bigfoot, which, frankly, I find a bit suspicious. But anyway, he shot this footage, and again, I'm glossing over lots of stuff because it's complicated and I'll just get into it, but there are very real questions about how the film was even developed, because in 1967, it was the footage wasn't something you can't just take with the local Walgreens. There's also questions about how fast the creature is moving, because Patterson claims that he doesn't remember what speed the camera set at. So if you run it at one speed, it's moving one way. If you run it at different speeds, it's a different way. There are actually several people have come forward claiming to have been in the suit. And this is a bit of a problem because, of course, assuming it is a guy in the suit, and it probably is, there's only room for one guy. They weren't two dwarfs. I mean, yeah. So the most likely guy in the suit was a guy named Bob Hieronymus. And there's a book titled The Making of Bigfoot by Greg Long, which is a pretty good analysis of this. And he claims that he was actually in the suit, and he talked about being made of hide. And anyway, so he claims he was in the suit. And the real question, of course, the film itself is especially interesting because it's either a hoax or it's Bigfoot. This isn't a moose. This isn't a misidentification. This isn't, you know, this isn't a deer from Weird Angle. Either this is a guy in a suit, or it's an unknown, you know, bipedal, hairy hominid in the Pacific Northwest. Those are the two that's how they break it down. So most experts who have looked at it have agreed it probably is a guy in a suit. There are different claims of people who say that no, that's all totally wrong. They say, for example, that the walk is all wrong. So I've seen people claim that it can't, it literally cannot be human because it doesn't walk like a human. And that claim was actually debunked by a friend of mine, Dave Daigling.
Now, let me just interrupt here. It's not John Cleese doing a silly walk.
I think Cleese has an alibi, but I don't really know.
That would have been awesome if it did walk like that. That's okay. Anyway,
it would.
You people probably don't know what we're talking about, but by all means, continue.
Do a Google thing. Anyway, so my friend Dave Daigling, he wrote a book on that, D-A-G-L-A-N-G, and he's an anthropologist, and put on a suit and walked using what's called a compliant gait. And he proved without any doubt that yes, in fact, a human can walk like that. That doesn't prove it's a human. It just means that the claim that this can't be human is flat out wrong. Of course, people have gone back and forth on it, and we're still talking about it today in 2020. One of the big things, is of course people say, well, if it's a hoax, then where's the suit? Well, in an ideal world, yes, there would be a smoking gun and someone would have, gone through Roger Patterson's, storage trunk and found the suit. It's true that the suit itself has not been found and is probably rotting in a dump somewhere if it's not long gone. But the mere fact that somebody has not located the suit and held it up doesn't mean anything. It just means that, there's lots of hoaxes that where the original materials have vanished or disappeared or got thrown away. So that doesn't really mean anything.
I think I've actually seen a couple of pictures out there that were old of the person who was in the suit holding up the mask part of it for part of the photograph. I don't know that the suit is still out there, but. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But you bring up an interesting point where you get these experts involved, and this is where I run into trouble when I'm finding myself in debates with people about it. And that is that someone will bring up some expert, like you just mentioned, well, the walk is all wrong, or back at the start of the question where they say, well, it's the musculature is nothing like a human being's. And according to some expert or another. And
right.
So if you're going to have these arguments that appeal to authority, and then there's an authority on one side and an authority on the other, how is the average person supposed to distill that down to what actually is the case?
Yeah, you're right. And this is one of the problems. Unfortunately, part of the answer is that, you challenge people on it. And again, I generally try to be pretty diplomatic, but when I see somebody claim, for example, that the walk has never been duplicated, I know for a fact that's literally not true. This isn't even a matter of opinion. I know if that's not true. And so I'll say, where did you get that? Why are you claiming that the walk can't be duplicated? And I'll tell you where I'm getting my information is from this book with Dave Daigling, and he has still frames of it. It's right there. And so I'll say, okay, well, I'm not saying I'm just asking, you're claiming this. You seem to be pretty certain about it. Here's my evidence. Where's yours? And they often sort of, harumph off or you block me on Facebook, whatever it is. It's sort of disheartening because I'm legitimately trying to engage with them, but part of the problem is that they're so influenced by TV shows and blogs and these things on TV that say, well, they just sort of make these broad sweeping statements that are simply flat out false. And it's frustrating because a lot of people just see something on TV and they think that's the truth. As you guys know, I did a book on the chupacabra, and I'm continually being confronted by somebody who says, well, yeah, I think you're wrong about the chupacabra. I say, well, that's interesting. Why do you think so? Well, I saw a half hour episode on some TV show last night. Okay, well, I spent 5 years researching this. I have a 220-page book fully referenced, so, okay.
Let's break it here and we'll talk about that. We got a lot more to come with Ben Radford. He's an editor of Skeptical Inquirer, so you know where this discussion has gone, but he also is sensible to talk to. So we can have a reasoned discussion, which is a rarity sometimes these days. Randall has a question. We got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have four segments left to our visit with Ben Radford, and we always enjoy talking with him. This is the third time he's been on. He was on in 2011 and 2014, after which he needed a six-year rest cure before he came back. And he's also going to be joining us on After the Paracast, where you could, of course, have unfettered conversation without the FCC limitations. Randall, you were about to say...
Well, just before the break there, Benjamin was talking about the book he's written on chupacabras, Tracking the Chupacabra.
Yes, the Dracula Chupacabra, the vampire beast in fact, fiction, and folklore.
I think we ought to talk some more about that. So let's move on from Bigfoot and talk some more about the Chupacabra and your book and a couple of your other books as well.
Sure.
Let's go right to the beginning. Where did this whole Chupacabra thing get started? And go through sort of a synopsis of your investigation and discoveries.
Sure. Well, the Chupacabra, as you guys know, is near and dear to my heart. It's a fascinating topic. I spent years researching it, and it's cool. It's a vampire. It's mysterious. It's, you know, all these sorts of things. And in fact, oddly enough, this is at the 25th anniversary of the Chupacabra. 2020, it was the happy birthday Chupacabra, actually, in August. The Chupacabra first emerged in August of 1995, which many people find odd because, of course, when you're thinking about mysterious creatures and monsters, whether it's the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot, what have you, you assume, reasonably so, that these things have been around for a while. Right? So that, you know, you don't assume the Chupacabra, for example, a giraffe just appeared in 1995, you know, Africa. You know, animals don't suddenly appear out of nowhere. Except in this case, it did. It's a curious story. So it actually begins, I'll take you back to the very first sighting because it's actually not really well known and it's really interesting. So it began in August of 95 in the small town of Canovanas, Puerto Rico, which is outside of the capital San Juan. And there was a woman named Madeline Tolentino, who I interviewed in my book, and I went and saw her, the location where she saw this thing. She's the very first person in history to cite what later became the Chupacabra. And she said it happened at some point during the second week of August of 95. She's not clear exactly what day it was, but she said it was a weekday, which would be between August, I think, 7th and 11th in early afternoon. And she actually gave two somewhat different versions of the encounter, and I'll sort of summarize them both briefly. So initially, she told her story to a Puerto Rican research group that was interested in UFOs. And that's actually one of the reasons why the Chupacabra story and mythology involves UFOs is because one of the first groups to hear about it and promote the story was UFO group. She said that she was helping her mother inside her house, and she noticed a vehicle outside the house, and she looked out the window. It's a big plate glass window. And she saw a man parking a car, and he was terrified. He had this look of horror on his face, and he was looking around trying to figure out why was he so scared. Was there a mugger or something else going on? Well, as it turned out, almost literally right in front of her was this weird bipedal spiky-backed creature that would later be called the Chupacabra. She says about 4 feet tall, it is bipedal and walking on two legs. It had long, skinny fingers and sort of an alien wraparound eyes and spikes going down the back. She had a very very detailed description, in fact, down to its lack of genitals. She goes into some detail about the Chupacabra's parts, or lack thereof, actually. She says that where the Chupacabra would have had genitals, it was, quote, plain and sealed. whatever that means. It also, she also noted it had no anus, which I've always found a very weird detail. But anyway, she said that it was just basically standing there in front of her on the opposite side of plate glass window. And her mother, actually, who was with her at the time, went out to go grab it. And then it she described it in different ways. She said it sort of flew or jumped like a kangaroo. And then she claims that that a neighborhood boy, a young man that worked for her then husband, chased it and into a nearby yard and pried its mouth open and looked at its teeth. You can probably guess that I'm getting a bit skeptical.
That's just like, yeah, no, this story keeps getting better and better.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. This is all documented. I'm not embellishing this at all. This is literally what she said. She said that, that it had these spikes that started flitting around sort of like on its back. And again, after the neighborhood boy grabbed its mouth, he let it go and it skipped off into the woods and was never seen again. So that's the story that she told a Puerto Rican group in 1996. In 1996, this was, again, probably 6-7 months after the original report. When I interviewed her in 2010, she told me a bit of a different story. The description was about the same, still sort of, you know, bipedal, spiky-backed, alien-type eyes and wraparound, things like that. And of course with the corresponding, naughty bits. But she said that, in fact, she said that the other eyewitnesses weren't there. So the guy who parked the car, who was terrified, wasn't there. The kid that allegedly grabbed it and looked at its mouth didn't happen. So in the version she told me in 2010, basically all that happened was that her mother woke her up, which is an interesting detail. We'll touch on that later, and brought her attention to the window, where outside the window, again, through the glass, she saw this creepy thing, and that her mother was going to chase it but didn't, and it basically just vanished. So, you know, we have significantly different stories that she told different people about that original account. But in any event, that sighting soon took on life its own. It was reported, as I mentioned, it was first investigated, and I use the word investigated very loosely in this case, by the Puerto Rican Research Group, who, as I mentioned, it was big at the time in investigating UFOs and the sorts of claims around Puerto Rico. They latched on to her story, particularly the head of it, a man named Jorge Martin, and began promoting her story. And so it made the news around Puerto Rico for several weeks and months. It was the subject of tabloid stories, sort of the National Enquirer version of Puerto Rico. So there's news reports and sightings and, you know, scary things and monsters and this and that and the other being talked about all over Puerto Rico. And then eventually it made the news. It made a TV show called Cristina, which is a Spanish language show, which was then broadcast to Spanish speaking areas, including Miami, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and elsewhere. And that brought it to a much broader Spanish-speaking attention. And then, of course, the X-Files. So in 97 was when the X-Files did a famous episode on it. And suddenly it's on the X-Files, and English-language audiences are hearing for the first time about the mysterious vampire beast, El Chupacabra.
Remember, folks, the truth is out there. Gene, Randall, and Ben, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Atlanta's mayor has accepted the resignation of Police Chief Erica Shields just 24 hours after a black man was killed by an Atlanta officer following a field sobriety test. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says the police force needs to change its ways.
While we have a police force full of men and women who work alongside our communities with honor, respect, and dignity, There has been a disconnect with what our expectations are and should be as it relates to interactions with our officers and the communities in which they are entrusted to protect.
The shooting happened at a Wendy's restaurant. It was captured by security cameras and witness cell phones. This comes during international protests against the killing of another black man, George Floyd, in Minneapolis. This is USA Radio News. Brazil has become the indisputable center as the world's second highest nation with the number of deaths from COVID-19 at almost 42,000. USA's John Clemens reports.
Brazil's Ministry of Health reports the cumulative total of over 828,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus, with almost 26,000 new infections, with another 909 people losing their lives, second only to the United States. Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization says Brazil's healthcare system was standing up to the pressure.
The system, as such, from the data we see, is not overwhelmed, but certainly in certain parts of Brazil, there's a significant pressure on the intensive care unit bed occupancy. And again, we commend the brave frontline health workers.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, all the good or bad things that the X-Files has done for us, it makes people believe it's just a sci-fi show, Ben. Or was. I don't know what the last season was, because they tried to change the theory behind the story when they brought it back after 12,000 years.
Yes, I've always sort of had sort of a love-hate relationship with the X-Files. I met Chris Carter one time. He happened to be the Center for Inquiry. I think he was giving a talk there. Seems like a nice enough guy. I enjoyed the X-Files in terms of, you know, obviously I do research into many of the actual subjects that the series is based on. I don't know, it sort of got a little outlandish for me, but, you know, I get the appeal.
So let's carry on with the Chupacabra then. So, because it started off with this one sighting or experience from this one girl, and it's now grown into, I mean, are they seen only in South or Central America, or where did it spread to from there, and are they all over the place now, or what's going on with them?
Well, it's fascinating, right? Because the original Chupacabra sighting, as I mentioned, it's very, very distinctive, as it later turned out, and this is one of the sort of the parts that I discovered in my book, is that Tolentino had recently seen the science fiction movie Species, the 1995 film, with Ben Kingsley and Michael Madsen and Natasha Henstridge, among others. And in her own words, this isn't me putting words in her mouth, Tolentino herself said in 1996, that the creature that she saw, the Chupacabra, looked a lot like, in fact, nearly identical to the movie monster Sill in the movie Species. And in fact, I devote a chapter to that in my book, is to looking at all the different parallels. And so it's pretty clear to me and many other people as well, that what Tolentino described as a first person literal eyewitness to the Chupacabra was in fact very likely, almost certainly, drawn from the movie Species, which has an identical monster that she that we know for a fact she had recently seen.
Let me just throw something in here as you proceed. Sure. About movies and TV shows influencing things. Take the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original with Michael Rennie. I'm not going to talk about the Keanu Reeves version, which I thought was dreadful. The original, that one there had a large amount of influence on the early UFO contact claims, didn't it? In fact, yeah. Howard Menger's painting of UFO was just the UFO, the flying saucer, a spaceship that left in light or in shadow at the end of the film. You see the thing take off, surrounded by a glow. He paints it and says, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's fascinating. In fact, that's sort of one of the lesser examined topics in this area is the influence that the movies and TV shows have on real life sightings. And the example you gave is a perfect one. A colleague of mine, Daniel Loxton, who wrote a book with Don Prothero titled Abominable Science, he does an excellent investigation into the influence that the movie King Kong had on the interpretations and ideas of what the Loch Ness Monster looked like. There's actually a very strong parallel between the person that had the original sighting of a long-necked creature near Loch Ness. This was actually on land. I think it was a guy named Spicer that was very influential in terms of the long-necked plesiosaur idea of Nessie that was very clearly taken from King Kong.
Okay, well, that's all pretty cool, but where are we with the Chupacabra today?
So, with the Chupacabra today. So, for about 5 years, the Chupacabra was mostly known, again, in Puerto Rico and around Latin America. In 1997, as I mentioned, it became broader, again, more better known through the English-speaking audience. And then things changed in 2000. And what happened in 2000 was that in Managua, Nicaragua, there was a rancher that shot what he believed, probably wrongly, but he believed was a chupacabra. And that's when we first see the first quadruped chupacabra. So before that, we're talking this alien-looking thing that, again, looks pretty much like the monster in the movie Species. And then 2000, suddenly we have this dead dog, or canid, right? Dog, coyote, fox, four-legged thing. And that's the first time when a skeleton, in this case, was claimed to be the chupacabra. And from then on, the public's idea of what a chupacabra is locked onto this mangy, four-legged creature about the size of a dog or coyote. And oftentimes, of course, there was little or no connection to vampirism, which is odd because, I mean, the chupacabra, it's a vampire. You know, it's the Bigfoot is not a vampire. The Loch Ness Monster is not a vampire. The Mothman is not a vampire. The Chupacabra is specifically a vampire. And I talk about that in the second chapter of my book, is you have to understand it within the context of vampire traditions around the world, because it's said to suck the blood out of goats and chickens, things like that. In fact, that's how you get the name Chupacabra in Spanish. So again, it's this vampire that's supposed to be lurking around, attacking mostly small animals, in a few rare cases, people. But it was for the first 5 years, it was sighted but not found. And after that, it was found but not sighted. And by that, I mean the original Chupacabra that Madeline Tolentino, the eyewitness, saw, again, based on, as it turns out, this movie, people sort of saw it, like, in the darkness or, you know, out of the corner of their eye, things like that, in these sensational tabloid stories. But in 2000, 20 years ago, people began seeing and identifying hairless, usually mangy dogs and coyotes as chupacabras. And this is when you began seeing, for example, coyotes in Texas and New Mexico and elsewhere that were these poor, unfortunate, you know, disease-ridden animals that were being mistaken for the chupacabra, even though there was no real connection to the original chupacabra and certainly no connection to vampirism.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. This, and what you guys were, when you started talking about movies and the influence of popular culture on how we perceive the paranormal, it reminded me of a discussion we had with another guest, David Halperin, where...
I know of him. Yep.
Yeah, and where we talked about how the phenomena, whatever it happens to be, tends to mirror the worldview of the experiencer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about eyewitnesses, right? And you know, we view the world through our own prism, and that doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It doesn't mean, it just means that, you know, we interpret the things around us as through a certain set of learned behaviors and assumptions about the world, and usually that works out perfectly. In a couple rare cases, it doesn't work out at all, and it misleads us.
Okay, but now I want to hear a case of where one of these chupacabras attacked a person.
Well, there's only there's only one or two cases that I've heard of. The main one that's coming to mind was, and you'll see why I'm hedging on it, was there was a report in Mexico where a man claimed that he had been coming home from work and he was attacked by chupacabra, and that was why he was late to his wife. You can
wait. Yeah, you know, I'm starting to see something there, and it's not chupacabra. I mean, I've heard of excuses that people give for their absence, but this one is taking things a little too far.
Long
but you know,
story,
you have to believe this, though.
He was out drinking with another woman, and
I have to end the segment.
Found out he blamed the chupacabra.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we have to end the segment, then we'll find out about the chupacabra. That's an interesting excuse I've heard of a lot. Maybe that's what... No, I don't want to get into that. We got more to come with Ben, Gene, and Randall. One more segment. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
It would be a silly excuse. Oh, a chupacabra. Next week you're going to say you were kidnapped by E.T., right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the interesting things about chupacabra is it's sort of a Rorschach because people were using it for various purposes. So, for example, when the original sighting circulated, particularly in Puerto Rico in the mid and late 90s, it was claimed to be God's retribution. So, for example, there were Pentecostal churches, of which there are several in Puerto Rico, that were saying, well, you know, this terrifying beast that's sucking the blood out of animals, it's demonic. And in fact, they would talk about how it was mentioned in the book of Revelations, for example. Other people, in another case I wrote about in the book, there was a chupacabra that ended up in a creationist museum. Because, true story, so there was this creationist bought, well, it turned out a mangy coyote, but he bought this animal from, it was claimed to be a chupacabra, and he bought it to display as evidence that scientists can be wrong. Well, you know, scientists say a chupacabra doesn't exist, yet here it is. Scientists also say that creationism isn't true, and they have this evolution theory, and yet... So I'm not buying that either. And I'll just tell you one other quick angle to it. So in the first year or two after the chupacabra came to the fore, it was actually used as a political tool. The mayor of Canovanas, a man named Jose Chamosoto, who sort of fancied himself a modern-day Indiana Jones, he was running for mayor of Canovanas, and he'd been mayor for several terms. When the chupacabra emerged, he seized upon it. He ran towards the cameras and said, well, I'm your mayor. I'll protect you from this chupacabra, this dreaded chupacabra. So he actually arranged press events where he and armed men with machetes and guns would prowl the nights and protect the villagers from the dreaded chupacabra. Of course, don't forget to vote.
Oh, that is such an excellent story.
That's so funny you should mention that, because I was just going to ask if there was a, you know, anybody had a, has a Chupacabra festival going on anywhere during this anniversary of the Chupacabra. No, that's fabulous.
It's actually interesting. I'll just wrap up with this if we get a second. So I was actually in Puerto Rico just last year. I was there for the Josh Gates show, Expedition Unknown. He did a show on Chupacabra. And while I was there, they were actually going to try and interview the current mayor of Canóvanas, who, as it turns out, is Chema Soto's daughter. So he's now retired. His daughter is now the mayor of the town. And the Josh Gates show tried to interview her to talk about Chupacabra, and she wanted nothing to do with it. She's like, not going to talk, no interview, go away. She was just embarrassed by it at this point.
Not doing the Chupacabra. Sorry. The next question.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so before we get to the end of the show here, and on After the Paracast, we're going to talk about the rest of your books and get into some other really interesting stories. But I want to talk about something that I ran across not that long ago, but I guess it's been going on for quite a while. Apparently, there was this rash of evil clown sightings, and you've got a book called Bad Clowns. What is going on with that?
You're correct. Yes, I wrote a book titled Bad Clowns. And when I told my friends, I've written a dozen books at this point, and my friends are always like, oh, what are you working on now? What are you working on now? And so I'm known for doing sort of mysterious, weird, you know, I've done books on lake monsters and ghosts and chupacabras. And they said, what are you working on now? I said, well, I think clowns. And they'd be like, clowns? I'm like, well, evil clowns. They're like, oh, I get it. All right, that's cool. That just nailed it. So, yes, I did the book on bad clowns titled, you know, Bad Clowns. I won an award for it. I'm not too proud to say. And, yes, in that book, in the next segment, we can talk more about the clown panic and the terrifying phantom clowns.
Well, let's touch on that right now, because okay. We're getting towards the end of the show and we'll be moving into the wrap up. So let's give us a teaser for what we can expect in After the Paracast.
Sure. In the book Bad Clowns, I go into the history of evil clowns. I go into the so-called phantom clown sightings, in which there were many reports, particularly in the 1980s and some in the 90s and even some more recently, of allegedly vans, usually white vans, of clowns trying to abduct children. And this sounds sufficiently creepy, and it is, but oddly enough, they were never found. They were always the sort of rumored shadowy bands of clowns lurking around. And of course, you can imagine how many clowns you can fit in a van, right? I mean, there's the small cars, and I've seen 20 or 30 clowns come out of one of those tiny cars that's about the size of a toaster. So I'm guessing a full-size van, just statistically, there's got to be 200 clowns in there. I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know how you measure clowns, but like maybe by weight or, you know, shoe size. Anyway, but yes, there were lots of stories circulating around. And in fact, about 6 months after my book came out in 2016, there was a global clown panic. And there were clowns appearing in social media, threatening to schools. There were actually school lockdowns. There were the White House issued a press release comment about the clowns. It was just everywhere. It was crazy. I can go. I don't know how much time we have.
No, we have a couple of minutes before we go close credits. So let's talk about what you're going to be up to when we get into the clowns and stuff in our After the Paracast episode, uncensored, by the way, folks. Tell us what you got coming up, things that you might be working on that we should know.
Well, busy on a lot of different fronts. I have my own podcast titled Squaring the Strange, and I'm pleased to say that we've just celebrated our third anniversary. I think we've done 125 episodes or something, and that's available on iTunes and Libsyn and elsewhere, and I have two co-hosts, and that's a fun project. I've recently done some investigations on a couple different things. I did one on the Chase Vault mystery. This is a famous mystery in Barbados that involves a vault that was allegedly sealed up, and the coffins, after it was sealed up, moved without anybody opening the vault. And I visited Barbados and did a couple of investigations into it and dug into that particular mystery. I have a recent article in Skeptical Inquirer magazine on Mothman Eyeshine, Red eyes is a particularly unique, strange characteristic of many creatures, including the chupacabra, the Dover demon, for example, and the Mothman. But it's not actually a thing that's anatomically possible in terms of glowing eyes. Certainly, eyes can reflect light, and many eyes do reflect light. If you see photographs of, for example, dogs or cats or owls or whatever else, but there's no animal that has eyes that emit light. And that's one of the claims about many of them. And I recently visited Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is, of course, the home of the Mothman. And I conducted some experiments there in terms of trying to investigate the Mothman eyeshine.
You sounded like you were trying to sell makeup or something for a second. Let's continue this.
The Radford Makeup. Check it if I can.
Radford Makeup Company, right. We'll just set it up and place your order since we can't really go to work anymore. We have to work from home. That's fun. Anyway, where can we find more of your stuff?
So you can find me on Facebook. Not a huge fan of Facebook, but it's sort of the default. And so, you know, that's where I ended up being, under Ben Radford. As I mentioned, I do a podcast called Squaring the Strange, which is available for free if people are interested. You can subscribe and check out new episodes every couple weeks. I also do occasional blogs and columns at the Center for Inquiry. So busy, busy, busy.
We're busy, too. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. You can find two places, communities, whatever they are on Facebook for the PowerCast. We also have branded merchandise at thepowercast.shop. All those wacky TLDs, top-level domains, .shop, thepowercast.shop. Ben's going to be back, or as someone once said, he'll be right back on After the PowerCast with more stuff, more about the clowns and everything. And that's available if you subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. We also give you a version of the show free of the network ads. For more information on becoming a subscriber at our special low, 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 low prices, go to thepowercast.plus. That's thepowercast.plus for quick sign-ups. We'll get you signed up in a minute or two. That fast. Ben Radford, thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thanks for having me on. Always great to talk to you guys.
PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs
oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.